Hey, this is James from SurvivalPunk.com. If you remember who I am, it's been a couple months since I've done a podcast. It's been, it's probably been about 7 months. Yeah, I know it's been about 7 months, because I haven't done a podcast since my daughter was born. Welcome, Aria Rosalind Burnett, to the world. And she turns 6 months in like 4 days. So I know I haven't done a podcast before. I've not done a podcast since she was born. And, now she's being 6 months old. It means I've not done one for 6 months, and I didn't do one for about a month before she was born. Crazy times. You know, speaking of crazy times, it's the apocalypse. Not to fear monger, but, that's what I've been kicking around recently. People are like, James, why are you doing this? Or why are you doing that? Not even for apocalyptic type things, just my general answer to everything, you know, like, James, where are you, like, why'd you pick that paper up on the floor? Yeah, it's the apocalypse. That's what I say to everything now. So, it's the apocalypse. It is the coronavirus apocalypse, the TP apocalypse. Yeah, definitely. I guess it took an apocalypse to bring me out of, air quotes, retirement. I was not in retirement, but there's a lot of little things, as always there are, and being a new father, no excuses, but, I'm not going to stay gone for another 7 months, guys. I will probably try to get some, at least, quick episodes out, just quick ones. I'm going to get like a mobile headset, and if I have to record a couple thoughts on the way home from work, I'll do that. So, first of all, don't panic. I don't think it's not the preppers that are causing this problem. I know I'm not rushing out and filling up everything with ground beef, and I don't have to, and I'm not super worried, and I know that me and my family will not starve if we have to stay in place for 14 days. We'd be fine. At the end of the 14 days, my wife and Skylar, my stepson, might be pretty irritated with the prep food. But even that, there's enough like decent preps that, like, you know, like there can be pancakes for several days. So it's not going to be the worst, but there probably will be quite a lot of rice and beans meals and, you know, whatever. I got lots of seasoning, so I can change it from day to day, but whatever. Let's get into the show. Where's my notes? So what is the coronavirus? COVID-19? The China virus, whatever you want to call it. Where's my little definition at? Get notes down here. Coronavirus disease, COVID-19, is an infectious disease caused by a new virus. The disease is a respiratory illness like the flu, with symptoms such as cough, fever, and in the more severe cases, difficulty in breathing. Nope, that's not it. Got to reload all my things. I've been following it since it started. But I started digging in a bit more just for this. Update real quick. As of the time of reading this, in the United States, there have been 54,454 total cases, 737 deaths as of right now. Have any more information? I thought I had something else on it. Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. Most people infected with COVID-19 virus will experience mild to moderate respiratory illness and will recover without requiring special treatment. Older people and those with underlying medical problems like cardiovascular disease, diabetes, chronic respiratory disease, and cancer or more likely to develop serious illness. The best way to prevent and slow down the transmission is to be well informed about COVID-19 virus. The World Health Organization must be keyword stuffing with COVID-19 virus disease and how it spreads. Protect yourself and others from infection by washing your hands and using alcohol-based rub frequently and not touching your face. COVID-19 virus spreads primarily through droplets of saliva or discharge from the nose when an infected person coughs or sneezes. So it's important that you also practice respiratory etiquette. For example, by coughing into a flexed elbow. At this time, there are no specific vaccines or treatments for COVID-19. Trump has some ideas on it, and I think they're interesting. However, there are many ongoing clinical trials evaluating potential treatments. WHO, World Health Organization, will continue to provide updated information as soon as clinical findings become available. You know, there's probably a lot of things to help it out. You know, if you do not have one of those underlying medical issues, you probably don't need to worry about it. The thing that probably makes me the most hopeful about this in my case, one, you know, I don't have any of those underlying medical conditions, so I'm not really an issue. My wife is pretty healthy, and it doesn't really seem to go after young children. So that's a lot off my chest. So, you know, if you do suffer those problems or you are elderly and you're one of those high risk categories, then, you know, I really hope that you are a prepper. I know several of my listeners are getting on up there in the ages. I don't know if I've talked to any senior citizen type listeners in a while. That's a weird noise outside. So I'm not sure, but I've been in the prepping survival community for a fairly long time. I know there are a lot of, really great, competent, well-prepped, older people. For a lot of them, that was just the way they grew up. You know, it was just common sense. The on-demand replenishment system and the reliance on the systems of support, the government, all that wasn't really ingrained in them. So canning and putting back and preserving are things that just came natural to them. This is how they're grown up. So for them, I highly recommend you just try to stay in as long as possible. You know, like, this is a damn good time to rely on your preps and just not leave, or leave very minimally. If you're not leaving and people aren't coming to you, then there's no way you can get it. So that's my thoughts. Like, if you don't have to be leaving your house right now. And I'm going to say this like 1,000 times throughout the course of this podcast. I'm going to say it 1,000 times. You know, I don't want the government to lock the entire country down. I wouldn't really care about them closing the borders right now, to be honest. I don't think anyone's going to be coming in, and I don't really think we need to be leaving. But a government, you know, shutdown, like a lot of areas are shutting down. A lot of places are having like stay in place orders. You know, just stop being a dumbass. Don't force them to do that. Just do that yourself. You know, out of respect for other people and yourself, don't, you know, there's a lot of things that are closed anyway. Like, don't, you can't go to the movies because I think the movies are closed. Stay your ass at home. You know, and so I'm pretty sure everyone knows I work at a Walmart. I'm a Walmart associate. I really barely got time off to record this episode. I've been working a lot of hours. I worked today and I left that to go do laundry and then went home. My tiny house washing machine can't really keep up the demand. So, I mean, in the true apocalypse, then we'd make do. We just have to run that motherfucker 24/7. But, you know, I just ran to the laundromat. It was empty when I went, whatever. What astonishes me is, you know, customer count is through the roof. There's a lot of people that are just panic buying. They're freaking out and they're bringing in their whole families. And by whole families, I mean grandma and baby. Baby. Like infants. You know, like I said, it doesn't seem to be affecting it, like babies in a large degree, but it's not, it doesn't avoid them completely. Sorry, I saw a magazine. I got to take that into the house. You know, magazine, firearm magazine, AR-15. I'm not, my wife and child are not going to leave the house until this is over. Not leave the property. I haven't locked them under the stairs. But I'm not taking Aria into a store until this is done. She's not going in there. I've gotten to the point where I come home from work and go straight to the shower. You know, I'm trying to do what I can to mitigate my exposure. I mean, God, we're probably all going to get it anyway, but I just think it's really irresponsible, you know, for these people to be fun shopping with high risk people. I've seen people rolling around the store with respirators. You are the picture of high risk. When they wrote down the definition, who is most at risk for COVID-19? Your face was on the book, dude. You're it. If you get it, you're dead. But you gotta have whatever fucking bullshit you don't need. Your 58th package of toilet paper. Good luck eating it, guys. You know, and 4 years. I started prepping probably 2008. I think it was about 2008 when I started prepping. Yes, right around the Great Recession. Not because of the Great Recession. It was a stupid reason. I've talked about it before. I just kind of got interested into it. I've went down a rabbit hole. Next thing you know, I'm running a website for like a decade now. Yeah. God, how long is it? Yeah. Sorrel Punk's coming up on 10 years real soon. I might have to throw something big and give away some shit. For a long time, for people that know me, yes, there are people that think what I do is great and, you know, you're the survival punks. And there's people that think I'm a wackadoo for having, you know, a couple hundred pounds of rice, for having, you know, MREs and freeze dried meals and having, you know, my AR-15s and whatnot. You know, and you know who's not panic buying at the stores? Preppers. We're not doing it. We're not wiping out the shelves. You know, I'm still buying stuff, but I'm buying stuff normally. And I'm getting some, you know, I've increased my prepping a little bit, but it's for the weird things that aren't being bought. And I'm going to talk about that later. Y'all motherfuckers panic buying really need to listen to my show because you're buying stupid shit. I just don't get it. I got a whole topic I'm going to talk about today on the stuff that's selling and the stuff that's not selling. You know, and there's probably some genius in marketing analytics is going to figure this out. But I've even looked, like, nobody can figure out the whole TP thing. What? Coronavirus is a respiratory disease. If there was a poop disease spread around, I'd be like, okay, you might want to prep a little extra toilet paper. You might have to stay in your house for 14 days. God, I better buy 100 rolls of toilet paper. What? It's just stupid. I just don't get it. Like, all you can do is laugh and look at the memes because they are amazing. It's a golden time in the memes. Yeah. What is next? So let's, I got this thing pulled up somewhere. COVID-19 versus the flu. How does it compare to the flu? So, yeah. I think a lot of people didn't really take coronavirus very seriously. Like, there's a portion of the world that kind of freaked out at first. There's a portion of the world, because the media picked up on it pretty quick and just ran with it. And, you know, the media is the media. They're stupid. And there's a good population of the world that thinks that everything the media says is wrong. You know, and I kind of still feel like the media is overhyping coronavirus a little bit. At this point, I just kind of wish everybody would just go inside and lock their doors for 14 days and there'd be no contact with anybody. None. Nobody leave the house. Not a single person. And it would be done. And, you know, not even China with their communistic power was able to get that accomplished, really. Granted, they probably, I mean, they got it under control so well because they're a ruthless communistic government and they were able to just do that. You know, like, they're probably like, go in your houses or we'll fucking shoot you. You know, and America's not there. You know, like, that, yeah. So, they've got a lot more liberties they can pull, you know, without having to, you know, respect their citizens' rights and lives, you know, and I'm sure a lot of people on the left are praising how good they did. Whatever. Yeah. So there was a lot of, you know, like hype and people were like, the flu this past year was devastating. My wife and son got it twice. I got it once and I haven't had the flu in like 20 something years. I haven't had the flu since I was like a little kid. I mean, granted I was sick for like 2 days, 3 days. I was on my ass for those 2 days though. Like I was just completely useless. So a lot of people were just like, well, the flu this year has killed like 30,000 people. The coronavirus, after it's basically done in China now. China is done. They're reopening completely in like a couple days, like a week or something, week or two. They haven't reported any new cases. Coronavirus is done in China. It's moved on. It's gone to other parts of the world. You know, and with that, Italy is being ravaged. America, not so much. I read the death numbers earlier. You know, people were just making the comparison that coronavirus just has not killed as many people. Like, it's just not as bad as the flu. And, you know, maybe we're starting to see that. I'll concede that it's apples and oranges. And it's hard to really compare the two. They have several similar symptoms, that it acts on you. So in that way, they are similar, but, the incubation period, the time that it takes to give you the symptoms, the death rate is higher, and it's more contagious. You know, so maybe it is as bad. And, you know, just through sheer will, we're managing to do something to control it. Maybe the flu actually is worse, but since we're so used to the flu, since we have so many, we have flu shots, we have so many treatments for it, Tamiflu, since we know it, you know, better the devil you know, you know, maybe without those things, the flu would be worse. So I'm going to read some facts and figures about it, but, you know, I've laid down my thoughts pretty well. The new coronavirus causing COVID-19 has led to more than 454,000 illnesses and more than 20,550 deaths worldwide. For comparison, in the U.S. alone, the flu, also called influenza, has caused an estimated 38 million illnesses. 38 million to 454,000. 390,000 hospitalizations and 23,000 deaths. 23,000, they're right there neck and neck. The flu's about done for the year. Coronavirus has a bit more to go, assuming that we get rid of it fairly soon. 23,000 deaths is nothing to scoff at. This has been a hard year for the flu. Really hard. You can see the comparisons there. Like, Corona still has some go, so it'll probably 3,000. It'll overtake the flu. But I don't quote me. I don't, I'm not a doctor here. But I don't see that number doubling. I don't think we're going to see 40,000. I don't think we're going to see like 80,000. We might push 30. We might add another 10,000. Maybe, if it wildfires through a bad area, a poor health area. But, and I think we got this pretty well though. I think we'll still get some more deaths, and I think we'll probably end up with more than the flu. It's not going to be the Black Plague, though, guys. Most people that get it will recover without hospitalization. Keep calm. That said, scientists have studied the flu for decades, so despite the danger of it, we know a lot about flu viruses and what to expect each season. In contrast, very little is known about the new coronavirus and the disease it causes, dubbed COVID-19, because it's so new. That means COVID-19 is something of a wild card in terms of how far it will spread and how many deaths it will cause. Despite the morbidity and mortality of influenza, there's a certainty of seasonal flu. Dr. Anthony Fauci said of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, said in White House press conference on January 31st, I can tell you all, guaranteed that as we get into March and April, the flu cases are going to go down. You could predict pretty accurately what range of mortality is in the hospitalizations will be. The issue now with COVID-19 is that there's a lot of unknowns. During the week ending March 14th, 15.3% of the tests for a respiratory illness turned out to be positive for flu compared with 21.1% the week prior. Scientists are racing to find out more about COVID-19. Let's see if we can Both seasonal flu viruses, which include influenza A and B, and COVID-19 are contagious viruses that cause respiratory illness. Typical flu symptoms include cough, fever, sore throat, muscle aches, headaches, runny nose, stuffy nose, fatigue, and sometimes vomiting and diarrhea, according to the CDC. Flu symptoms often come on suddenly. Most people who get the flu will recover in less than 2 weeks, but in some people, the flu causes complications, including pneumonia. So far this flu season, about 1% of the United States have developed symptoms severe enough to be hospitalized. And the overall hospitalization rate in the U.S. this season is 61 hospitalizations per 100,000 people. With COVID-19, doctors are still trying to understand the full picture of disease symptoms severity. Reported symptoms in patients have varied from mild to severe and can include fever, cough, shortness of breath, according to the CDC. In general, studies of hospitalized patients have found that about 83 to 98% of patients develop a fever. It's pretty good, but it's still kind of random. Like, maybe you don't. 76 to 82% develop a dry cough. 11 to 44% develop fatigue and muscle aches. According to one review study on COVID-19 published February 28th in the Journal of American Medical Association, the journal JAMA, other symptoms include headache, sore throat, abdominal pain, diarrhea, have been reported, but are less common. A less common symptom, loss of smell, has been reported in some COVID-19 patients. Another recent study considered the largest on COVID-19 cases to date. Researchers for the Chinese Center for Disease Control and Protection analyzed 44,672 confirmed cases in China between December 31st, 2019 and February 11th, 2020. Of those cases, 80.9% or 36,160 cases were considered mild, 13.8 or 6,168 severe, and 4.7, 2,087 critical. Critical cases are those that exhibited respiratory failure, septic shock, and or multiple organ dysfunction failure. Researchers wrote in a paper published in China CDC Weekly, a recent study of COVID-19 cases in the United States found that among 4,226 reported cases, at least 508 or 12% were hospitalized. However, the study published March 18th in the CDC Journal Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report, as long, is preliminary, and the researchers note that on the data hospital, let's see. The death rate from seasonal flu is typically around 0.1% in the U.S., according to the New York Times. Though the death rate for COVID-19 is unclear, most research suggests it is higher than that of the seasonal flu. In the study published on February 18th in the China CDC, weekly researchers found a death rate from COVID-19 to be around about 2.3 in mainland China. Another study of 1,100 hospitalized patients in China, published February 28th, in the New England Journal of Medicine, found the overall death rate was slightly lower, around 1.4. Still, the death rate for COVID-19 appears to vary by location and an individual's age, among other factors. For instance, in Hubei province, the epicenter of the outbreak, the death rate reached 2.9%. In other provinces in China, the rate was just about 0.4%. According to the China CDC Weekly study, in addition, older adults have been hit the hardest. The death rate soars to 14.8% in those 80 and older. Among those ages 70 to 79, the COVID-19 death rate in China seems to be about 8%, and it's 3.6 for those 60 to 69, 1.3 for 50 to 59, 0.4 for the age group of 40 to 49, and just 0.2% for people ages 10 to 39. No deaths in children under 9 have been reported. Thank God. A report published March 13th in the Journal of Emerging Infectious Diseases adjusted the potential time delay between hospitalization and death among cases in China. The author estimates that as of February 11th, the death rate for COVID-19 was as high as 12% in Wuhan, 4% in Hubei province, and 9% in the rest of China. Let's see, one more thing. In the CDC's MMWR study, 45% of hospitalizations, 53% of admissions to the intensive care unit, ICU, and 80% of deaths associated with COVID-19 were among adults age 65 or older. That's a lot of information. And it seems really random. The big takeaways seem to be it's really going to hit the people 60 and older the hardest. As you get to that age bracket, it just sort of starts skyrocketing up. So no, that is not a coronavirus cough, guys. So we won't, I'll put a link to this article in here. You can take all this with a grain of salt. I don't know how much, if any, how much numbers that China fudged. How many unreported deaths, unreported cases. You can't trust those commies. Just saying. So, you know, maybe, because when you look at how it's hitting Italy, it's devastating Italy, and the numbers are way higher there. Italy, however, has a higher, they have the highest rate of elderly people in all of Europe. Like, there's more elderly people in Italy than there is all the other countries in England or Europe. And I have a feeling. So one of the things that increases your risk, how likely you are to get it and how severe it's going to be is if you are a smoker or a vapor, and smoking seems to, it impairs your lung function. Coronavirus goes after the lungs. It looks like it kills smokers and vapors at a higher percentage. So it's only one of those variabilities in the mortality thing. I have a feeling that there's a lot of Italian smokers. Whereas in America, we've but then again, I think a lot of Chinese people are smokers. So Italy, number of smokers in 2018 by age and gender in 2018, 1,265 Italian men, 942 blah, 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 smokers, blah, blah, blah. Maybe not. Maybe I'm just, maybe just making stuff up. Maybe they're lying. Italian doctors smoke so much. Yeah. I bet there's a lot of smoking Italians. Anyway, let's move on. What works and what doesn't work? So I guess there's a lot of thought of hoo-boo, joo-boo going around, probably telling you to take your essential oils and whatnot. The shitty surgical masks are damn near pointless. They are the only thing they're remotely good for is if you yourself have coronavirus and you wear it in public so you're not breathing and sneezing and coughing on people. However, if you have coronavirus, don't take your ass out the house. Did you know a human being can go at least 2 weeks without eating? You might not be happy, but you can go 2 weeks without eating. There are a lot of cases of people going much longer without eating. I'm sure you have some food in your house. And I'm sure you have water. Drink your water and don't leave your house. The masks are pointless. The gloves. People are wearing latex gloves everywhere. I've seen people wearing dishwashing gloves. You know, and I guess technically they will prevent you from coming into physical contact with the virus until you then take those gloves that you have on your hand and rub them all over your face. If you're going to wear gloves, change them often. You can't wash them, so you need to change them often. Wash your hands. You need to wash your hands after changing them. I've started wearing them more at work, just because I touch food products. So just as an extra layer of precaution of the food could come in contaminated, you know, like produce, apples, oranges and stuff could come in contaminated. Walking around the store, it can become contaminated. I may pick up the virus and be contaminated and touch other things. I'm starting to wear them and change them often. I'm not walking around eating with them and touch my face and, it's, you know, do a task, change them, wash my hands, do a task, change them, wash my hands, whatever. They're not magic, you know, and make sure if you're going to wear them, just make sure you're changing them often and you're still washing your hands and you're still not touching your face. If you're wearing gloves and you touch your face, you still touched your face. Just saying. I was trying to find some good tips on this. All the articles on the internet are stupid. If you want a mask to wear, the surgical masks are not what you want. You want the N95 respirator mask. They're a pain in the ass. They have a time limit. But so the normal surgical mask won't be able to filter down the particles of the virus. The N95 respirator mask will. Good luck finding them if you hadn't already stored them. At this point, I have some. I'm not wearing them. You know, I'm just, if I get it, I will wear them to help prevent the spread, but I'm not going to wear them all day long. If you get N95 respirator masks, see how long you can wear it. Cause I bet it's not more than about 30 minutes before you're like, get this off me. And at that point it'll become clogged with particles anyway. They're not like a one-stop shop and go. You could probably buy a World War II gas mask and walk around with it. I don't know if we'd let you in Walmart. I think we'd turn you away, but it's an option. You could buy one of those. Everyone's just still saying, wash your hands, don't touch your face. just don't, social distancing. Stay the fuck away from people. If people cough, get it, just. What? And we've gone back to it. Just try to don't go outside. Just limit yourself. Stay away from people. Just do it. And this will all go away. We can all go back to things. There really are no super known well treatments for it yet. Donald Trump is talking some anti-malaria drugs and some other stuff. There's a good possibility he's trying to push some things through, loosen FDA restrictions. So hopefully we should see something soon. For the most part, though, if you get it, you might not even know. There's a lot of people that just are symptomless. They just carry it. They spread it. It's just mild to nothing. So unless you're in one of those high risk categories, you really don't need a cure. It's just not that bad. It's not great, but it's not that bad if you're not in one of those high risk categories. I think we've kind of, I had next on my list to talk about the government lockdown thoughts. I'll rehash them real quick. As a libertarian, I kind of hate the government. I would like them to do less. As a prepper, it's reinforced to me fairly well to some degree, but on the others, I know that if I could snap my fingers and everybody would be in their house by themselves for 2 weeks, the incubation time for this, so that everyone that had it would get over it and whatnot, it would kill this disease. It would be done. Do I want the government to enforce that? No. Stop going to the beaches. Stop hanging out. Stop doing dumb shit. I don't think we need the government to spank us and be like, oh, you should probably go home. No, you dumb sons of bitches. Just do it. I have to go out there every day so you guys can buy stuff and hang out. And my job is to sell stuff. And if I didn't sell stuff, then I wouldn't have a job. But I'd rather be selling stuff to healthy people. Just saying. Stay home. When it's done, come back and we'll sell you shit when you're not sick. Just saying. So do you want the government to lock us down? No. Is the government probably going to do it anyway? Probably so. That just gives the government more authority. They'll try to sneak some stuff in, like the goddamn Democrats when they wrote their stimulus package and they threw in Green New Deal things and voter enforcement. You can't trust the government. if they have to write some bill for the entire country to like lock down, they're going to sneak shit in. And then you're like, well, I got fucked over. Because you wouldn't just stay home. You had one job to do. Sit at home, eat snacks, watch Netflix. Stop the virus. And if you don't do it, the government's going to make you do it. So just for once in your life, be proactive and keep the government from taking us necessary powers. Thoughts on the supply chain. People are afraid that the supply chain is not going to be able to keep up and that we'll have food shortages. And that's why they're panic buying and stockpiling stuff. Walmart, personally, I've seen sales numbers of like Black Friday for weeks. Weeks. I work in the vegetables and meat area. The meat comes in the same amount that it always comes in. It all goes to the counter and it all disappears usually before lunch. So the supply chain is still maintaining at normal things. It hasn't, oddly, it hasn't replenished at crazy higher levels. So everybody, every store is still getting the same amount that they always got. But instead of sitting there for like 3 days and, you know, slowly selling off, it sells in a matter of hours. In one day. Yeah, so a matter of hours. The supply chain is fine. The supply chain is great. If the panic buying continues at this insane Black Friday level for months, we could see a supply chain start to buckle. Which I don't understand how anyone has freezer space and space left. Like, all of y'all's freezers have got to be packed to the brim. So I'm figuring from years in retail that once we hit what I'm calling peak fridge, when everyone's fridge and freezer and deep freezers are all filled to capacity, then they might stay the fuck home. So then stores will see little to no activity. People still kind of come in and try to look for the toilet paper because they're fucking stupid. You know, and other things. Then they might start looking for luxury items. You know, but I think that we'll be done then. And then the coronavirus eventually will go over. Things will return to normal at some point after that. If the supply chain buckles because of idiots, though, it may get ugly then, but I just don't see it happening. I think that peak fridge will happen before the supply chain buckles. Just saying. I don't see a lot of more room left for these people to be storing shit. So there is plenty of stuff. There's no need to panic buy. You know, if everyone gets about 2 weeks worth of stuff and then just stays out of the stores, that's probably the best thing that could be done for the nation. So, from a retailer's point of view, the supply chain is fine. To be honest, the amount of freight going into produce right now is really high. You vegans and vegetarians, you know, heaven right now, all you could possibly want. You know what? Just sort of a fun thing. Like, since I see the shelves more than most of y'all do probably. Like, you go in and you kind of like glance around and you see it and then you leave or you get what you want. And I study the shelves. I see what we got. So, you know, I get to kind of assess what's selling and what's not selling, you know, and rice, beans, pasta, all that stuff's gone. Ground meat is gone. Steaks are still there, though. We'll talk about that. You know, potatoes are gone. Onions are gone. Flour is gone. Sugar is gone. You know, those things, a lot of the milk, eggs are all gone. It's just weird stuff, you know, like perishable items, milk, eggs. One day all the milk was gone. All the heavy cream was gone. All the dairy product was gone. I haven't seen eggs in a while. You know, and that's sort of leading to more panicking. Ramen noodles are gone. Most ramen noodles are gone. I'll talk about that. The freezer, the frozen foods, there is none. It sells every day. People don't know how to cook. So all like the TV dinners, all the microwave stuff, the frozen vegetables, frozen potatoes, all that's gone for whatever reason. And you guys are noticing this too. You guys are looking at the aisles. You're seeing there's no canned vegetables, except for a couple weird things. But the things that aren't selling, and there are opportunity buys here, especially for us preppers that, you know, we have most of our basics covered and want to top off some things and get some more premium items or whatnot. Produce, you know, you can get pretty much all the produce you want, including citrus. And all these people were out here just tearing up the meat and the canned vegetables. They're all gonna have scurvy in 2 months. So then they'll be after citrus then. I guess everybody forgot about scurvy. So pretty much everything in produce, all, you know, fresh vegetables. So if you're just cooking food like normal, you're okay. You're not gonna really find a lot of meat choices. But you know, if you want to just go less meat, go more veggie dishes for a while, you won't have any issues. The Asian section of the market, like I don't remember, some of the Mexican stuff is fairly still there. Some of it's gone, especially if you're in a more, Latino area, probably is tore up. And the same may go for your Asian stuff. Most of the people I've heard from, the two sections usually that has Asian stuff in it is pretty much left alone, including Asian ramen noodles. So the noodles over there in that section are there. You know, I bought a whole bunch the other day. You can't buy flour and you can't buy sugar, but all of the pre-made cake mixes, brownie mixes, frosting, pudding, jello, that all of that stuff that goes together on the aisle, all of that's there. All of it. Even like the easy like mug cake packets and all that stuff, all of that's still there. So my wife was like, oh, you see if there was any flour, because she wanted to make, certainly wanted to make a pineapple upside down cake. And there's box mixes and it was fully stocked. So, it's a good time to get that, you know. They're not super healthy, but whatever, it's the apocalypse. Snack cakes, fruit cups, those things are being left. Little Debbie's and all that, like, cups of fruit, you know, fruit cocktail and all that stuff is left alone. The next one I really can't understand, and that's what makes me really feel hopeful about all this. The coffee aisle is immaculate. You can buy coffee all day long, every day. And I don't know about you, but I do not want to be in an apocalypse without coffee. I'll just go full retard in the AR and just start shooting everything. So I got my coffee. And if you don't have coffee, there's plenty on the coffee aisle. Come in once and get it all and go. Or get all you need. Booze. The booze aisle is not touched. Which is really weird considering these kids could be out of school for like 3 months. All these parents at home, homeschooling with no booze. So bizarre. I don't get it. I can't understand an apocalypse that people are buying TP over booze. You know, that's kind of like the golden rule there. Like, that's why there's the ATF, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Bureau. Because those things are, they should have been some of the first couple things to go, but there's booze everywhere there's booze all over the store because it's easy to get and no one's buying it. Chips and cookies. Not really being picked over. Like, it's still there. You can get it. There may be a couple of varieties missing, but for the most part, they're all there. I'm coming up on an hour. I got to get inside and start cooking dinner soon. It's a weird time to be recording a podcast. Sodas and flavored Gatorade, flavored water and Gatorade. So, depending on the day, you might not be able to find any bottled water. You can find, pretty much all of the sodas that you could want, all of the flavored watered, all of those little flavor things. It looks like Gatorade is fairly well stocked too. So, seasonings and spices. They're buying all this rice and shit. What are they going to season it with? Nothing? Have you eaten bland rice? It's not good. Rice takes a lot of seasoning, to make it decent. And they're buying all this meat and they don't have, they're buying all this stuff and they don't have seasonings for it. I don't get it. Candy. Plenty of candy. All the candy is fine. The Easter candy is all sitting there. Easter was canceled. Jesus is not going to resurrect this year, actually. Sorry. I saw that somewhere. But yeah, Easter candy, all you can want. Basically all the sweets, cakes in the bakery. People are buying bread, but they're not buying cakes. So cakes, pies, cookies, it's all there. just saying, like, you know, obviously it's not the apocalypse. You're not going to starve to death because, you know, there's a cake. Let them eat cake. So I don't have a whole lot to go after. I'm going to try to find a show note. When I want to publish this, I'll try to put it in the show notes. I did an episode years ago about dealing with waste during the apocalypse. Was I Nostradamus? I don't know. But I did talk about a lot of alternative TP methods. Matt French, you remember the gooseneck? It was a 16th, 15th century French humorist that wrote that the greatest thing that he ever wiped his ass on was a gooseneck. That, he grabbed a gooseneck and wiped his ass with it, and it was delightful. The goose was not happy about it himself, but the gentleman enjoyed it. So if you can't find a gooseneck, mullein. Mullein leaves is growing on the side of the roads a lot. They have a weird season. They pop up all the time. You might be able to find some stalks. They grow up a long, tall stalk, about 6-7 foot tall. They have fat, broad leaves on them. And if you go up and grab one of the leaves, it feels like velvet. It's really smooth. Mullein was called cowboy teepee. If you see any, grab it and, wipe your butt with it. So it's good for that. One of the things they did back in the old days was buy cheap novels, you know, like 10 cent, 5 or 5 cent, romance novels and like cowboy novels and wipe their asses with the sheets. Like they'd read the page, pull it out, wipe. Cheap books are a good thing. You know, you can get the free newspapers and like scratch your butt to, you know, hell. Ron Hood, may he rest in peace, a great late survivalist, when he'd go on his camping trips in the woods, he would take a bandana for his head and a bandana for his butt, you know, and he'd have his butt rag. You know, I guess he'd just rinse it out afterwards, which sounds gross, but, you know, if you can't get TP, you can't get TP. A lot of people are showing instructions on how to make like bidets, which grosses me out to no end. So, you know, I still say you buy a goose. That's where it's at. We'll be installing them at work pretty soon. Lastly, man, just be safe, y'all. If you can, and I know a couple of y'all are, Kevin up in Michigan, you're retired. You've got your preps, you know, hang out at the house, chop some wood, have some fun. You know, if you've got the preps and you're ready, just sit this one out, you know, get on the internet and laugh at the memes. But if you don't have to, there's no reason to go out there and expose yourself to the virus. You may get it and be fine. You may get it and be, a random anomaly and get really sick. I don't see why you should gamble, though. If you don't have to go out, don't go out. And if everybody did that, we'd all be done with this. And with that, this has been James from survivalpunk.com. DIY to wipe your ass with a gooseneck, you guys.